Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What are we doing, my baby?
Yes. It's head built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Welcome. It must be Thursday night.
Get your own line.
I am Tiffany Braxton Belvin.
I am Carlos Danger.
And you are now listening to Reality and Relationships. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be with you guys last week. I was a little under the weather. It comes with the territory.
Kanye held it down, don't
you? Yeah, of course Kanye holds it down. Of course, because you try to take me off the show when I'm on the show, so I can imagine what happens when I'm not actually on the show.
Hey, man, was tight, though.
Yeah.
You're digging me.
Whatever. But I am happy to be back. How you going to burn your wife?
No, I was reading something.
I am happy to be back. I'm feeling a tad bit better. But like I said, it comes with the territory. so as you can hear, my sidekick in the back, he has a lot of work to do, and he's trying to multitask, which he doesn't do a very good job at it.
No, first of all, there's no reason for you to be explaining what I'm doing in the background. Just hold your business down, and why are you playing video games?
I
just saw it.
No.
Is that Candy Crush?
That's Candy Crush.
So,
but
you
I
the
wasn't,
show?
No.
You got Candy Crush
no.
on
my-
No.
You
try to throw me under the bus? Nobody throws Carlos Danger under the bus. I'm running for mayor. That is not my penis.
I don't know what he's running for, but he needs to run in the closet
under the bed.
If you don't know who we're talking about, we are talking about
Aunt Wiener.
Anthony Wiener. The one that can't seem to keep his wiener in his pants.
Carlos Danger.
But I wasn't playing Candy Crush.
Yes, you was.
No, I was actually not on the air playing Candy Crush. It just, the screen happened to be up.
Right.
As
right.
the show started.
Anyway.
I was trying to get to my email.
How has your week been?
My week has had its ups and downs. As I mentioned, I was a little under the weather. But I'm getting along. I'm getting along. Our second doctor's appointment is on Saturday, honey.
Are you getting it?
How, you know what? I need a new baby daddy.
They gotta wait 8 months, 7 months.
Anyway. But the week.
I'm sorry, you damaged goods now. Ain't nobody messing with you about 7 months.
No, you did not.
You back on the market then.
As damaged goods.
Well, you, I love you. And other dudes look at you like, ah.
Actually, you're absolutely wrong. I've had so many guys, believe it or not, checking me out. And I'm thinking,
I would make a comment, but it's a PG show. We're going to leave that alone because brothers will understand that. That's anyway, never mind. I'm not going there.
You're so nasty.
I'm not going
I know
there.
Exactly where you're going.
I'm not going
and
there.
You are so nasty.
I'm not going there. Carlos Danger in the house, baby. Where am I, camera at? I'm going to take some pictures. Check your Twitter in about 10 minutes.
No, I'm not liking you right now. You're not funny.
Oh, trying to tell you. A little danger, baby.
Anyway.
How was your week? You forgot what you thought.
You didn't forget what I was talking about. Because you're not even funny.
Welcome back, baby. Tell them how your week was.
My week was long. It seemed like Friday can't get here soon enough. I look forward to Fridays because then it's Saturday.
Okay.
And actually, we have great news.
What's
today
great news?
Is the official first day that we have our own place. Although we are not in our new place, we're still at our old place because we had to do the show, of course, and nothing is in our new place right now, although we have the key. But we have our new place, and I'm totally excited. I can't wait to get over there. Although I spoke to the guy, he said the floors are not ready.
Take off that rent.
They better, because of the, you know, we're going to go over there tomorrow, because we have wood floors in our new place, and they were supposed to buff them and do whatever they do to make them shine again, because a lot of paint spilled all over the floor. And I happened to call him today to ask him something else, and before I could say anything, he mentioned, as if he thought we were there already, that the floors hadn't been done. So we need to go over there tomorrow. And if the floors are not done tomorrow, then we need to start deducting from our next month's rent.
No problem.
Because we're paying enough to live in this apartment.
Carlos Danger will be on the scene. I'm changing my name to Carlos Danger.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. No more KL Belvin. Carlos Danger, baby. I just ain't going to send no pictures out.
Please don't.
We make some money.
No comment.
How else was your week?
You know, my social life, usually I have a lot to talk about, how I went this place, I went that place, but my social life has almost come to a crawl.
Damaged goods.
You know, you better stop referring me to me as damaged goods. I'm not damaged goods. I'm just a little under the weather. That's what it is. But I plan to get back in shape in about 4 weeks or so, according to the baby books. You know what? I have to share this because I am a big girl. Everybody knows this. I like to eat. I like food. This is really the first time in my life that I cannot eat and be comfortable. KL and I went to a barbecue this past weekend, and it was catered by a chef that's in our bowling organization, and he cooks very well. He's cooked for KL and I before. The food is delicious. He's really good. So I'm sitting at the table. I have a few pieces of meat on my plate. Everybody else's plate is piled high with food. I have a few pieces. And it was like torture trying to eat this food. And I'm sitting there saying I have to eat something because I hadn't eaten all day and I need to get my energy up. So the chef came over to me and he said, you know, Tiffany, is everything okay? And I said, yeah. He said, is the food okay? I said, the food is fine. I just wish I could enjoy it. And he said, what do you mean? So I explained that. I said, you know, I'm pregnant and every time I eat, I get nauseous. So I can't eat as much as I used to, and I definitely can't eat as fast as I used to. I have to really slow it down, or it'll come back up. So he started laughing. He said, okay, thank you, because he thought something was wrong with the food because of the faces I was making. Imagine you, the chef, sitting across the room, watching somebody eat your food, making faces. And it wasn't the food at all, because this food is delicious. And I want to give a shout-out to Chef Javel from the UBA. He's awesome. And you have his information?
Let's see.
You have his business card over there, right?
Of course you put me on.
Of course I did. I think it's up there somewhere. Oh, I got it. So, we have Chef Javel, and his email address is trustinuscatering@gmail.com. trustinuscatering@gmail.com. We have to give him a shout out because was it earlier this year or late last year that he finished culinary school?
This year.
Yeah, and like I said, he's made things for us in the past. He's done a number of events with our bowling organization, and he's really good. And he's very professional. He's a young kid. He's trying to, you know, make his way. So check him out. Give him send him an email. Let him know that we sent you. And, so how was your week, honey?
Oh, man, I'm still on vacation until September, so y'all can hate me now because Carlos Danger is an educator. But, my week has been hectic. I had a friend of mine, his father passed away, and he was my original bowling coach 30 years ago, and I have remained friends of the family for years. And so went over to the wake yesterday. They had the funeral today, was unable to go. And it's interesting, the number of people that you see at a funeral who you haven't seen in so long that are connected to things that you're connected to. So, of course, all the bowling folks were together, and we had an opportunity to just sit and talk. Put this over there, Doc. And other than that, I've been here trying to get this story together. I am a day behind, and I hate that I missed the deadline. I got to submit it tonight. I got to finish it up. Working my hand at trying to become a fictional writer, and I can't say not easy. It's just a transition that I have to grow stronger at. But the only way to grow stronger is to put out work so I get the feedback so I know what areas I need to focus on. So I'm not scared to make mistakes, and I know some people might beat me in the head for the skills that I don't have now. But
like me.
Whatever, but this is what you have to do, because when you want to grow strong at anything, you got to be willing to get into the shallow end of the pool, and this is what I'm doing. I'll climb down. Poetry, not a problem. Memoir, nonfiction writing, not a problem. But when it comes to fictional writing, I'm reading a lot more. It's not even something that was I read on a regular, but now I've been reading a lot more to gain a better understanding of how fictional writing should actually flow. And now it's just a matter of getting comfortable with my own skills this end of the pool. So right now I'm just going to kind of choke out some folks that's in this end of the pool who really shouldn't even be down here. And I'm going to make my way to the middle of the pool and hopefully to the deep end. But I'm not playing Marco Polo. I'm playing Marco Chokeout. So basically, if you're not supposed to be in the pool and you shouldn't have a pen in your hand, you're just putting out garbage, I'm choking you out. Fighting my way up the ladder to get to where I got to go. So Carlos Danger making his move. Penis picks unless I have to. This is what it is. And yes, I'm bugging out because, you know, the Aunt Wiener thing really makes me laugh. Is the height of arrogance. not telling the lie.
Did you explain who Anthony Weiner is? Because, okay. You know, everyone is not here in New York, so you have to explain who Anthony Weiner is.
Okay, Anthony Weiner is a former congressman who got caught sending Twitter pics of his penis to different young ladies around the country. He got caught now. Gave up his job. Apologized. Came on and said he was ashamed of embarrassing his family and he got a problem. He supposedly went and got help and everything
He's
like that.
Getting help.
Getting help. He comes back and now wants to run for mayor of New York. In the midst of a mayoral race, he's doing his thing out there campaigning and is actually leading.
He was leading.
Folks was happy that he was back. And then it turns out that the brother had created a Twitter account under the name of Carlos Danger and was continuing to send out penis pics
after he resigned his Congress position.
So the brother was refusing to put the beef away. I guess it must be impressive beef. I don't know. Something must be going on that he feels his package needs to be seen by other people other than his wife. His wife is hanging in there.
His wife is forgiving him again.
And that means his package must be impressive.
Oh, stop. You know what? We always have this conversation, and I
Carlos Danger.
Ask KL, why do women put up with sometimes nonsense?
The
nonsense. And KL always, his response is always, the sex is good.
Good loving will cause a woman to look at you differently.
I'm sorry. I enjoy my husband.
All right.
And
we have been through our issues, but we are not together right now
because of the sex.
Excuse me? We not?
We're not together for the sex.
We not?
Not just the sex, no.
That's
enjoy your conversation.
Carlos Danger just took a shot to the jaw.
I enjoy your conversation. I enjoy your companionship.
But the sex too, right?
Your intelligence.
But the sex, too, right? Oh, the pause. Oh, Carlos Danger's down. Down goes Danger.
Relationships, when you get to a certain age.
She trying to clean it up now. I'm hurt. I'm leaving the show. That's it. We having an online breakup. Damn. Carlos Danger's out. I'm not saying nothing else. Oh, my wife just threw me under the bus, the sex bus. No.
You're making it worse. I did not throw you under the bus. I'm being mature. My husband
Did y'all hear an emphatic yes?
He is so immature right now.
Did y'all hear an emphatic yes? Because I didn't. I heard, mm-hmm.
He is being so immature right now. I'm trying to be mature.
Men, you want your woman to be like, that's what I'm talking about. I just got the, it's all right.
Who said that? All I'm saying is when you get to a certain age and you've been in a relationship for a decent amount of time, that there needs to be more to the relationship that keeps you in the relationship other than sex.
My name is now Carlos Risk. I am no longer Carlos Danger. I am Carlos Risk.
You are a mess.
No, but anyway, I'm being serious. You know, some women, unfortunately, will allow men who will use their sexual prowess to try to sway emotional reactions, which when they hope will blind them to actions that are negative. Now, back to what we're going to talk about this week. But let me just finish up my week, and we can actually start to prelude what this week's show is. Other than that, the week has been good. I got back to bowling, and bowling pretty well. I just have to work on some things to feel more comfortable with being back bowling. I was out of bowling for a little over a year and change because of an injury to my wrist and shoulder. Now my wrist and shoulder is perfectly fine. Now it's just a matter of getting my timing back, and I feel that that's coming. Also, the workouts have not been bad. I did a little too much Tae Bo, so I'm sitting here sore. My knees are killing me. So I think I'm just going to have to hit the track for now and wait till I get a little smaller to do the aerobics because Billy Blanks and I just wasn't getting it along. I was trying to keep up, but my knees are bothering me right now, so I think I'm going to hit the track. But other than that, the week has been great. Having a pregnant wife and having a new apartment, looking at the future of what we're going to create, can't complain. And so the week has been real good, so there's no complaints from me. What's going on in the news today?
In the news, Ariel Castro. You remember him?
No.
He is the guy from Cleveland who kidnapped the three young ladies for almost 11 years and held them captive in his house. He has now been sentenced. He is going to face life in prison plus 1,000 years. Why do they do that? I don't understand.
What?
When they say life in prison plus years, like, we know he's not going to live 1,000 years. So what's the point of putting 1,000 years? Just put he's going to be in prison
life
for the rest of his life.
I guess, maybe they have to listen like that.
Well, yes, he's been sentenced, and only one of his victims actually spoke in the courtroom. And that was Amanda Berry.
That's one with the glasses that keeps saying she's going to have her say.
Yeah.
She's going to talk every chance she gets.
Yeah.
I ain't mad at it. She said for 10 years I couldn't say
she, nothing. Actually, she was captured the longest. She was there 11 years.
Wow.
And she was the oldest. And she also seemed to be the one who suffered the most abuse.
Yes.
And
when I had the baby, it was killed and whatever.
Well, he beat her till she had a miscarriage. Apparently multiple times. She's had 6 miscarriages over the years that she was there.
Wow.
And I believe someone told me today, I didn't read it, but someone told me today that he beat her so bad that she's actually deaf in one ear. So,
wailing on?
I just don't understand. I don't understand, but listen, justice was served. He'll be in jail for the rest of his life.
I don't necessarily know if justice has been served.
Well, you know what she said? She said that for the 11 years that she was in captivity, they all felt that they would get out one day. And at work today, I was thinking, and we actually had the discussion, that you spend that much time. 11 years is a long time. Think about 11 years ago. Technology was even different.
He just came out saying, yo, I got to check my Snapvine account.
So the thing,
I know I got voice messages.
The things that have gone on in the past 11 years that those young ladies have missed, it's just, you can't give that back. It's like, how do you go on with your life? And you know what's funny? One of the women on my job, she said that she doesn't understand the child that was fathered by one of the other young ladies with Ariel Castro, how she was able to love that child. And I said to her, I can understand that, because when you're in a position when you are being held captive, you have this baby. This is your only real chance of being able to love anything or even feel love or unconditional love, because you don't know from one day to the next whether you're going to live. So
that's,
I can
tough.
Understand.
That's tough, because to know that you're caring for a child that was forced upon you, that's tough. Like, I can understand both sides. That's a real hard one for me, because you look at the child and know it was a product of a ill situation. But every child is a blessing, so it's a dual thing for me. It'd be very difficult. Knowing the man I am, I probably would love the child, but under those circumstances, it'd be hard, because every time you look at the child, you're going to be reminded of the situation.
But under the circumstances, it's not like she could leave the house every day and be amongst friends and think, oh, that's the child I had with the guy that raped me. She had to basically take care of that child. It was in a room in a house that she was being held captive.
Yeah.
So, really, do you even have the thought process to think, I'm going to hate this child? Because think about it. The child is your only chance of really having somebody that you believe love you, because this man was so abusive.
Now, you make a great argument, but like I said, the hardest thing is mentally, your brain is scrambled at that point. It's real hard to say what you could think or feel in any situation, so I wouldn't be surprised if abuse was the rise, or that she turns out to be the greatest mom ever lived. In those circumstances, really only Lord knows what you were blessed with to be able to deal with it. So it's a real hard. I hate to straddle the fence one way or the other, but that's tough. See, and she always starts the news off with something that caused you like to want to jump off a bridge.
Oh, stop it! That was supposed to be good news, because he's going to jail.
So we celebrate him.
Yeah. My other news, which is actually about our economy, sort of.
Kind of, sort of,
because
together,
I'm wondering, man. No, see, the reason why I say this is because I'm actually wondering how it would actually affect us as the consumer, because the U.S. government is trying to decide whether they're going to get rid of the penny or not. Like, they're getting closer and closer to getting rid of the penny.
Why can't the nickel catch it? The brother penny? bad enough we don't brown, only one worth 1 cent. Now you want to get rid of it?
Because, you know, the reason why, and I'm going to read
here
this.
Go.
It says, according to the U.S. Mint, both the penny and the nickel have been produced at a loss since 2006. Because the materials used cost more than the value of the coin. So it actually costs more money to create the penny and the nickel than what it's worth.
Step your game up. Dimes only, baby. On the streets. Dimes only, baby.
Then think about it. Things that normally would cost $1.99
are gone.
$2.45. It's going to be $2.50 or $2.
And you get the account. That way you don't have to have chicks there that don't know how to add your change when they don't actually know what to do. And you go, $4.37. How much I get back from 10?
Just
okay.
Ten.
The retarded dudes that stand there and it's $4.37, they go, so how much is that? Didn't you go to school or flunk out or something? Figure it out, man. They start counting with their toes. Man, get it together. See, if it's fives and tens, everybody get no fives. Tens, that's even better. 10, 20, 30, 40. That's easy. How much you supposed to get? You ain't got no dimes in there, bro. So, you know you're going to hand me one of those. Just grab a handful.
You are so sick. Anyway, it also says, by some estimates, producing a single penny can cost more than 2 cents.
Wow.
In aggregate, production of both pennies and nickels result in a loss of about $436 million per year. Okay, let's get rid of the penny and the nickel. Maybe we can decrease the deficit.
Give it to me. Give it to Carlos.
That's where the government deficit is. It's in creating pennies and nickels.
No, it's hiring cats like Carlos Danger, who's showing his penis and still has the opportunity to run for office again. Why is he not locked up?
Well,
let me show my penis. I'll never work again.
Is it illegal to show your penis?
Isn't that pornography?
Is pornography illegal?
Is it when you just send it randomly? You can just send anybody you want pornography now? That's what it is? That's what's hot in the streets?
You know, I need to look that up. Because is it illegal? It might be offensive.
I mean, it's probably not illegal. But I want to see how he quits his job and now is up for another job. I start showing pictures like that. Not only do I lose my job, they take my license and everything. Come on. Elliot Spitzer bought coochie and still kept his law license. How is that?
He's another one. And that's what's going to bring us to our topic later on after the break. We're going to talk about sexual addiction and is it real? And I know I've read a few comments on my Facebook page from women. I would like to hear from some men, too. I have my own ideas about sexual addiction, and some people may be surprised. I'm going to hold on to that.
It's
but
real, but I'm just saying.
What are you saying?
What? Well, we'll talk about it when we come back, but I believe it's definitely real. I used to be one. You didn't know? I was the real Carlos Danger before.
I edited the book, remember?
Yes, from Gigolo to Jesus. Where I actually tell you how I was the original Carlos Danger, the ebony Carlos Danger. I wasn't sending pictures. I was sending myself. You don't need no photage, but I can actually show up and be like, hey, Carlos Danger here. And I was holding my hands up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my hands behind my head.
You're a mess. You're really a mess. And, you know, the worst part about it is not the fact that you tell these crazy jokes. It's the fact that you laugh at them.
Hey, listen,
that you actually find them funny.
If you can't laugh at yourself, it's a porn shop.
Porn shop?
Porn.
Did you say porn?
No, I said porn shop.
Porn.
Yeah, you got to laugh at your own jokes. What's wrong with that?
You have a porn ticket?
That's you.
Let me see.
What you porn on? You selling stuff?
Where'd it come from?
That's yours. Ain't mine.
Where was it?
Right on the table. I ain't got nothing to do with the show, thank you. In front of my wife hawking stuff. We're not telling me. We're going to have to change the topic of the show.
But where did this come
How
from?
How do you know you're about to be abused?
Anyway,
yes, we're going to talk about sexual addiction. Don't mind me. I'm having fun tonight. Actually, I'm pretty tired, too. We're going to talk about sexual addictions, whether you know that you have one, don't have one, and just some questions throughout the night that you should, you know, need to consider, and maybe you might need to go get help. At one point, people that read from Gigolo to Jesus, my memoir, actually felt that I had a sexual addiction. I did not believe that at first, and then after doing more research after my book was out and after talking to people, I believe that I possibly did, and that sex had just become the driving force behind the way I lived my life at certain points, and it took major changes to release myself from those type of addictions. But at first, it meant admitting to myself that something was wrong. And we're going to discuss those things as well as others. And then Carlos Danger and his lovely wife will be back in...
two songs.
That is.
Yeah. Union, baby. Remake.
Union. You know... Red. How can I describe the feeling that I get when I stare deep into your eyes? When you're gone, I am sick, baby, what would you prescribe? Your presence alone is penicillin. Anticipating till you come home to give me healing. I laugh as I sit reminiscing on all the kind things that you do. Your intentions from the random back rub to the hours that you put in when you're standing in the kitchen. There's so much more to mention. Your style plus your smile is incredible. And all your sweet ways makes you edible. And you ain't sweating all these niggas trying to get at you. I can't lie, girl, sometimes I want a better view. You make a nigga want to marry you. No joke, ma, I wouldn't Jim Carrey you. You got me locked, ma, I'm caged dead, lost in your love, girl, you are that amazing.
Oh, baby girl, you hear my words. Just know that they coming straight from my heart.
gon' do things, grown things, you and me all night.
I'm Tiffany Braxton Belvin here with my wonderful co-host, KL Belvin, and we're discussing sexual addictions. Are they real? And so far, we've mentioned a few topics with some of our politicians, and it started me thinking about other people, other celebrities like Tiger Woods, even Bill Clinton. And some people have said that sexual addictions are real. Some people have said they're not. It's just about people who refuse to have control of themselves and curb their behavior.
What's the name of husband?
Who?
Halle Berry's husband.
Halle Berry. Oh, she actually divorced him because she said he had a sexual addiction. Although did we ever hear the details? Because I don't recall ever hearing the details. What was his name?
Singer.
What's his name, honey? Halle Berry's husband.
Yeah,
I can't think of his name offhand, and I've almost said the wrong name, but I'm not going to say the wrong name because I don't want to accuse someone of being a sexual addict. But he also admitted to being addicted to sex. So I started looking up some information, and I came across the website for the American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy. And they actually had a statistic that said nearly 12 million people in the U.S. has a sexual addiction. Can you imagine that? 12 million?
I think that's low.
You think it's low?
Yep.
Why? Actually, they said with the access to the internet and pornography and even cable television, that it's increasing. It's actually tripling.
Eric Benet, yes,
I remember.
Barefooted, and David Justice was out cruising prostitutes, so I don't know. Something must be going on with Halle.
But do you think, okay, in most cases, do you think it's a matter of sexual addiction or just people who don't have their behavior in check? Because they have a bunch of money, they figure, I can do what I want to, I have this power, this authority, and I'm just going to do this.
Well, it plays into it also. Now, let's be real. You can't be addicted to cocaine unless you have money to buy cocaine. So your livelihood plays into the type of addiction. Now, folks on a lesser level will find different forms to feed their addiction, hence the free websites, things that you can get on your phone, magazines, stuff like that. What you have to look at, person is risking health, family, occupation to frequent or to be involved in something sexual the same way a crackhead would do for crack, gambler would bet on anything. That's what you have to start looking at. Someone who's just freaky, money allows them to be freaky. They may claim sexual addiction because, again, it is a legitimate disability and they get certain rights and protections. But I say what you have to look at is folks who are always surrounded and caught up in something sexual These are the folks on whatever level, because addiction holds no ground to the money that you make. The money that you make just allows you to be involved in different things. Now
keep in mind that people who hear sexual addiction does not mean that you just enjoy sex, that you like to have a lot of sex, because, you know, I enjoy sex. But it doesn't mean that you actually enjoy it, because there are sexual addicts that do not enjoy sex. And just to give you an idea, sexual addicts are people who engage in persistent and escalating patterns of sexual behavior despite increasingly negative consequences to self and others. And they become addicted to the neurochemical changes that take place in the body during sexual behavior. So it's not that you like having sex, but actually the changes that's going, the hormones that's going on in your body, you're addicted to that. So you can have all these negative things going on. Just for example, like when KL and I were dating and he would go outside our relationship, he was putting our relationship in jeopardy, and knowing that he was putting our relationship in jeopardy because he had already been caught, he still continued to do it. So people who continue to act in these behaviors and knowing the consequences, even like Elliot Spitzer, and I'm sorry, not Elliot Spitzer, Anthony Weiner.
Wasn't he paying for it,
they said, with government funds?
Yes, over $80,000.
So even the height of the consequences, the person doesn't stop to say, I'm not going to do this because it's going to cost me my job, marriage, my freedom if I go to jail. They don't think about that at all. They don't even worry about it.
They're probably having sex at work anyway.
You know what's funny? Speaking of sex at work, I remember when I was working for a telecommunications company, we had a room that the employees could use to access the internet. And we used to be able to access the internet from our desk, but they changed it to one little room for everybody to use. And in the review, in the security reviews of the internet usage, they found that people were actually going into the room to watch pornography. And I didn't understand why anyone in their right mind, with the amount of money that we made, would take the chance of accessing porn on the company internet. You could do it at home.
Heightens the experience. The idea of getting caught heightens the experience, which heightens the endorphins that are given off when you release the feeling of getting away with something. It's the reason why when people go hump in a park, people go hump in places where the chances of getting caught increase, and then depending on who they are. Now, you have adventurous people. You have people that are adrenaline junkies that are not just directly connected to sex. They might just like to have adrenaline, something that's going to stimulate adrenaline. But sex junkies,
the idea that they might get caught?
Yes. The idea that they might get caught heightens the passion. Can I get this in? Can I do this? And now that charge of adrenaline mixed in with the sexual endorphins cause a person go, you know what, this is what I'm talking about. And it is very easy to get sucked in by a sex addict, because a lot of times they will offer the person who is a non-sex addict new experiences that they never would have considered on their own. And because a sex addict is at it every day, they actually have a talent. And that's where I was. I had a talent. Once you have a talent, then it is a way to allow someone to feel the things that you want them to feel. And so, hence, opens up the door to you to be able to do different things. And all you have to do is find willing participants. And when you start to find willing participants, well, then the it's endless. It's like being in a wolf. They lock you in the hen house. Man, come on. It's easy.
But, you know, sexual addiction doesn't always have to include another party. A lot of times when we hear about sexual addictions, it's because someone cheated or got caught with another woman. And we're going to talk about that too, because it's not only men that have sexual addictions, but we hear a lot of male celebrities, they got caught cheating, and then you find out, oh, they have a sexual addiction. But the idea is, a sexual addiction can also be someone that doesn't necessarily seek another partner. A sexual addiction can be someone who constantly masturbates. And it's interesting because, again, because you have the internet, right, because you have the internet and such easy access to pornography, you have people who sit at home, and the crazy thing was, when I was looking up this information, was saying people who sit at home and watch 4 to 6 hours of porn while they masturbate.
I don't know how you do that, but no.
And it just, it was amazing to me that you could spend that much time in your day. And it's so funny because I was watching something. It wasn't, I'm trying to think, was it MTV or VH1?
Who's masturbating for 4 to 6 hours? Wouldn't you get chafed?
You know what's funny?
You'd be wrong. Wouldn't your arm hurt?
I was watching a
documentary. Rubbing up against things on your house, be a puppy?
I was watching a documentary about this guy. He was in his late 20s, and his friends were really concerned because he didn't have a girlfriend. You know, all his friends are getting married. They're settling down. They got good jobs. He was still living with his mother in, like, a room, and he had all this porn and magazines and videos, and his computer.
My ex-wife made me throw away. I had a garbage bag full of porn videos in the closet, and when we got married, she made me throw it all out. I was like, what? I was cool with watching porn when we were dating, and then as soon as we get married, you want to throw away my stash? Nah. She tried to throw the trash. I went out there and got it. And then I found that there was some magazines missing, and her brother had got to my stash, took out what he wanted, and hid it in his own stash. So I raided his stash and took back, well, he had some freaky books. I don't know what, there was some things up there. I was like, wow. So I was like, so this is how we going to do it now. When I go to school, you're going to go into my stash. So I had to lock my porn up. Then my ex-wife caught it and just threw it away without me knowing it. I came home, my stash was gone. She said, why would you need porn if we married? Because I needed porn before we married. So I know a little something about that.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention, because I know it's something that you address in your book, From Gigolo to Jesus,
yeah,
where you said that your sexual addiction began with
pornography. 11 years old.
Right.
10, I think.
And the magazines in the store.
Yeah, I used to go to buy the Sunday paper for my grandmother, and I would take the Sunday newspaper and drop it on the porn magazines, and I would buy 2 newspapers with about 7-8 porn magazines in between. Cats didn't know. All you had to do was show them that it was 2 newspapers, so you gave them the dollar. I think the Sunday paper was 50 cents at that time. And so here I had about $8 worth of porn in between the newspapers. Guys didn't care, gave my dollar. I ran home, locked myself in the room, and like my man for 4 hours, those 8 or 9 or 10 minutes seemed like 3 days. Well, I was good. My only problem is I'd pass out, leave the porn somewhere. My grandma was like, what is this? I have no idea how that magazine got there.
And how old were you?
I first started at 10, got
no,
caught.
No, when's the first time, right, when's the first time your grandmother caught you?
11, 11 and a half.
Did she take your magazines away?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those. She took only one she seen. I just got real creative in where I hid them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is what it is.
The reason why,
I
because...
I started having sex at 12, though.
You know, and that explains a lot, because it says the beginnings of sexual addiction are usually rooted up in adolescent or childhood. And I was reading, it said it is founded that 60% of sexual addicts were abused by someone in their childhood. So.
Yeah, I was abused too. That's for another show, though.
For another show? we're not going to go into that today.
I don't want to talk about that. Actually, what happens from that abuse, I can speak on it. 2 things happen. You can become an abuser yourself, or you can become sexually advantageous to life. So what happens is, some folks will take on the persona of the abuser and then become abusers. See, I don't need to research this. I actually teach it and live it. And, or you can become sexually promiscuous. So what happens is, and they do this when they've interviewed a lot of prostitutes and a lot of strippers, male and female. You know, what got you started? A lot of times the abuse of someone at home opened up the door to the sexual promiscuity, and then some is just, once that abuse happened, they took on a persona of, I'm just going to have as much sex as possible because, hey, it is what it is. Rape victims go through some of the same things. Some rape victims will take on abusive qualities and will actually go out and look to do negative things to folks, as well as some can become promiscuous. Some can become withdrawn. So with abuse at early ages, it can do things to you that stunt particular growth. Now, sexually, growth that's needed for you to go, ill, that's nasty, is now when you hear the loss of innocence. That's actually what happens, because you're opening a child up to adult-like feelings, adult-like situations, and so when they respond to that, the brain protects it by saying, well, if we can go out and institute it ourselves, can't nobody actually do it to us? So at that point, from 12 on, I was going to try to have sex with as many people as I could, because endorphins that came off of the release was incredible. So I didn't care if it was pretty, I didn't care if it was ugly, I didn't care if I was in the staircase, I didn't care wherever it was. Only whatever had like a strong mental or a strong consequence, I stayed away from. So like, no, I never had sex in church. Wasn't going to do something crazy like have sex in a graveyard, because the consequence was greater than the actual pleasure. That don't mean I wouldn't have humped close to one. That don't mean that I wouldn't have tried to do something in the area that might not be considered the church. That don't mean I didn't think about
it. You might do it on the steps.
All of that. But the idea is that some things kick in and each addict is different. Just like you have functioning addicts, and then you have some folks that are completely out of control.
Right.
You have some people that go to work every day, and you wouldn't have any idea that they're spending every dollar that they get paid to gamble, to smoke, to drink, whatever.
That's why I think that when you ask the question, is sex addiction real, and some people say no, you have to think, I believe, when it comes to the mind and the things that give us pleasure, you have to remember that the pleasure is a matter of, like it was
pleasure
said, the
right. Endorphins that are given off.
Right.
Dopamine and
absolutely.
A couple others that are given off.
You can have an addiction to practically anything. And it's funny because I know that.
Hold on a second. Have a mental addiction.
Yes.
Or you could have an actual physical addiction.
Yes.
Sexual addiction is connected to physicality because you're actually a chemical that is given off. Whereas some addictions are mentally, meaning you actually start to convince yourself that you need to be able to do X, Y, and Z, or you can't do it. Now, those are different addictions because you've actually convinced yourself I'm a mental addict compared to an actual physical addict. A cocaine addict, a physically addicted addict.
But that's also a chemical, right.
Yeah, because it's from a chemical reaction.
A natural
but
chemical,
mentally,
right.
Mentally, some folks convince themselves mentally. Like, I'll give you an example. A person who goes, I can't eat french fries without ketchup. Why? No, I can't. Why? You know, mentally, they convince themselves, for whatever reason,
that they can't eat it.
So mentally, that's what happens. And some folks will create that situation sexually or in other things, that certain things have to be whatever. Just like I find it funny when I hear folks say, I don't eat pork. Well, I don't eat ham, but I eat bacon. But I don't eat pork. Wait a minute. Bacon's pork. No, but I eat bacon. Well, so you just don't eat certain types
of pork.
Right. But they'll tell you, they're convinced that they don't eat pork.
Well, that's
but
like
they,
Elijah. That's like
my son, yeah.
Yes. Our son Elijah, he eats steak. He loves steak, but he won't eat hamburger.
Yeah.
It all comes from the cow.
Yeah,
it's all the same.
You don't got that.
But he, you can't convince him to eat a hamburger for anything.
We have Angie on the line.
Angie?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a caller calling in. Angie, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. How are you?
Good. How you doing? How's it going?
I'm good. How's it going? This is Carlos Danger. Don't call me KL tonight.
Oh, are you Carlos tonight?
I'm Carlos Danger tonight. That's my addiction, porn name, whatever you want to call me. I'm just saying.
That's his alter ego.
Your alter ego. Okay, we'll take that, Carlos. Okay. So who are you, Tiff?
I'm Tiffany. I don't have any alter ego.
I'm working on that.
Oh, gosh.
What's going on, love? What you got to say about this topic?
Well, I really didn't hear the topic. I just heard bits and pieces of what you guys
were
saying.
Sexual addiction, real or not real?
Is addiction? What kind of addiction?
Sexual addiction.
Oh, it's very much real.
So what are your thoughts on that, on the realness of that?
Well, the thing is, when it comes to any type of addiction, it's hard. It's really, really hard to kick the habit. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's what addictions become, habits. So you have to actually train your brain, you know, train your brain to, like, say, this is not what I really want. You understand what I'm saying? But physically, your body's craving it. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So this is that. That's when you got to get out of the natural and into the spiritual. You understand? So that's a real deep topic right there, because the brain waves work very, very funny. You know what I'm saying? Some brain waves run longer than others. You understand what I'm saying? So
so how long you've been exposed to anything? Because the way back for a lot of people is very difficult. The point of no return, but it's harder to go back than it is to go forward. And some folks, to try to reclaim themselves, they just don't want to go through that work, so they feel more comfortable with the addiction because they feel that they can handle it and they feel they can deal with it. Once it's gotten to the point that you've admitted that there's an addiction, it means that it has started to create a problem in your life somewhere, whatever addiction it is.
Right.
But in a sexual addiction, and the danger of a sexual addiction, and I've talked about this in the past, a sexual addiction and gambling addictions are two addictions that don't show themselves for years, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can make enough money gambling, you may not actually know that I have an addiction, because if I'm winning, then you don't really know that there's a problem until I start losing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scrambling to get money from all
right.
over.
Right.
I'm taking
you
a risk.
You can't pay your rent.
So
right,
now
right.
Sudden,
you're taking bill money and gambling, exactly.
So the hole gets so deep, I can't make it back. Now, sexual addiction is a little bit different for this reason.
Mm.
Have sex with people daily. You could have sex with different people all over. You can, and with the internet being what it is, it allows you to connect with so many people in so many places that if you're willing to do things to yourself until you can actually see someone physically, and now because of Skype and other technologies, now the technology is getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Now folks can actually have video where you can do pretty much everything but touch. So
right.
now if you can do everything but touch on the internet, you have now lowered the walls, so when you actually do meet, well, what else we got to talk about? We done did everything on, let's get right to it. And
mm-hmm.
so to me, that's why when Tiff gave the numbers earlier, I believe that many people are not reporting that they are sexual addicts because they don't want the stigma or the shame
mm-hmm.
comes from something like that, and because most of them are great liars.
Sexual
addicts are
afraid of the exposure,
yeah.
They're afraid of the exposure.
Yes, and so because they're not going to admit, so the numbers are never going to be registered for what they actually are. Go ahead, sis.
Well, speaking of stigma, that was another thing I was going to say, that a lot of times we hear that from so many men that they have a sexual addiction, but it makes you wonder, are there women who have sexual addiction? And actually, according to the statistics,
mm-hmm.
about 8-12% of women go into sexual addiction treatment, and that's because a man who has sex with multiple women in society, they're considered the man, they're considered, you know, just doing what they're supposed to do as a man. But with a woman, she's considered a slut, a
whore. Oh, yeah, all different types of things.
Woman. So how many women are actually going to come forward and say, listen, I have a sexual addiction.
Mm.
I gotta get treatment for it.
Mm-hmm.
And Angie, you mentioned something that is very important that people need to listen to, is that one of the things that can help break a sexual addiction is spiritual balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the deeper that you get into spirituality,
mm-hmm.
now I'm not talking about just formal religion, because formal religion can be
that's totally different.
Forms of spirituality where you actually start to immerse yourself in the spiritual aspect of your life, the shame of trying to do the things that the sexual part of your being is pushing you to starts to become greater than the pleasure, so you actually corral yourself. Because you don't want to be a disappointment to whatever deity that you pray to. And so the deeper that you can get into your spiritual self, it helps you to control the physical self that may be out of control. But the first thing is, one, admitting that the physical self is out of control.
Right, that is the problem.
Make sure that you understand the spiritual move that you're making is not one based on some fraud or fictitious religious. This is how cults actually take advantage of folks, because you see that there's a heightened sexual thing going on in a lot of cults. You see that a lot of cult leaders are having sex with members because
right.
of the emotional aspect that comes from sex. Couple that with faith or fake faith, now you got a person all screwed up in the game because they don't know what to think, and now you got a person controlling them in various ways. So I always say to folks, my faith is what helped me regain myself, what keeps myself in place, and what also now, once I was able to get control, then it was a matter of rebuilding all that I had given away. So it's very important also in finding a partner in Tiff who made it easier for me to let go of a lot of things. And I say this in my book, and I talk about it when we go out and speak. I had to learn how to humble myself and
mm-hmm.
let the Lord and Tiff take their position in my life, since I have been so used to me just being in control.
Well,
the
you do need accountability partners. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Okay.
That's important, because I don't care what the situation is and how you try to deal with it or whatever, you need some kind of accountability partner. You need somebody that's going to be that encourager, somebody you can text, say, listen, I'm having a problem or whatever. You know what I'm saying? God's blessed you with Tiffany. You know what I'm saying? That person that you actually need, because you cannot fight this on you. Nobody can fight it on their own. I'm sorry. I don't care if people say, oh, I did this on my own. You did not do it on your own. Number one, the Lord was there. You understand what I'm saying? We need him 24/7 when it comes to all of this stuff for any kind of addiction. You understand what I'm saying? You cannot do it on your own. So you
even the faith that talks about that man shouldn't be alone, and so the Lord made him a helpmate, a partner.
A helpmate, that's right.
But it was to help him, and that's one of the things, too. Also, waiting to have sex, too. The less encounters that you have, the more you take control compared to other things taking control. Also, exposing yourself to things that you really shouldn't be paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Pornography is not a positive. Let's keep it real.
No, absolutely not.
Even real sex. So you're watching pornography. If you allow yourself to be exposed to something that is not real, then you actually start to create fictitious thoughts within your mind, which
mm-hmm.
then you start to try to shape your realities
mm-hmm.
to fit fantasies that you've actually seen. So you're actually doing damage to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing damage to the women or men that you're trying to get with, because now you're trying to make them porn stars.
Right.
What you saw in the movies is reality. So it is very... You got to be very careful when messing with your mind, because what you allow your mind to witness, what you allow your mind to read, what you allow your mind to hear will have a lasting effect and can be a form of abuse.
Oh, absolutely. It is a form of abuse.
Folks have to understand that, because if not, then you're running around here trying to figure, how did I get here? What's going on? So, Ange, tell them what's going on with you and what they where they can hear more from you.
Listen, y'all can catch me on Wednesday nights as Love Fantasies with the Diva Squad, 7 p.m. at 646-200-3838 here on GQ Palace Radio, alongside my fellow divas T and Rachel every Wednesday, and hopefully I'll be special guest hosting on Monday nights. You know they have the new Monday night show with the music. Me
right.
being a lover of music, I think I'll fit in pretty well there too.
There you go.
Hint, Lavina and Rich.
Uh-oh. To the behind the scenes, folks. Take note.
Yeah, so, call in. We have, real topics going on, adult topics,
All right.
Call in and get in on the conversation with us.
Well, I always thank you for coming on. We held it down last week. We had fun last week, and definitely coming on this week too. But we definitely appreciate it. And anyone listening, make sure you tune in on Wednesday night, the Diva Squad. The young ladies are outstanding, and they get it in. They have some fun. My Wednesdays are hectic, so it makes it very difficult for me to tune in to work.
Yeah.
Definitely, these ladies really have fun and really lay out some topics, and you'll definitely enjoy yourself. It's the same station, same phone number, so you don't have to change anything. All you have to do is come on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock and do the same thing you're doing right now. Listen and enjoy yourself, and I am sure that you will, as well as Monday night. Actually, every night.
Every night got something going on.
Talk, just look for the shows. Pick the shows that you want. I say listen to all of them. Don't even turn on the other stations. Just listen to all our shows.
That's right. And you can go and archive them. You can go to the Blog Talk Radio, GQ Palace Radio, and archive them. The archives, you know what? They're good. I love you guys' show. But all the shows are really good, very informative, I think.
Without question.
You understand what I'm saying?
So that's another thing, too, is that you listen to something on, I'm not going to say any other radio shows outside of GQ Files, I ain't going to give them that credit. You can't go back and listen to their shows. You heard it, you missed it, you're like, oh, you should have caught it. You can go back and listen to any one of our shows,
mm-hmm.
hear what we talk about, and get yourself geared up for the next week, and you can log it in. You can even set reminders on Blog Talk, but you can get an email to let you know when the show is coming on that you like. So if you put them all in, you'll get an email every night to remind you to turn it on. So you can actually set a reminder for whatever show that you like, but tune in one. You can't say that there's something on one of these shows that you like. You should be listening to one of the GQ Palace radio shows. Blog Talk Radio, put in GQ Palace Radio, and pay attention to the shows. Choose one that you like. Take a listen. What is it going to cost you? 2 hours, an hour? Why not? Makes no sense.
Yep, that's right. All right. That's right.
Thank you, darling, as always.
Again, shout out to you guys.
Get your rest.
Don't let Carlos drag you out of the bed. Carlos.
We're going to take a 2-song break, and then we come back. We have another one of the Diva Squad on the line, but we're going to take a 2-song break, and when we come back, I know T got something to say. I ain't even going to tell you what she's saying behind the scenes. I'm going to let her tell you herself. We'll be back in 2 songs. This is Carlos Danger and his new wife. I'll tell her what her name is going to be.
New wife?
Yeah, I'll tell you what your name is going to be when we come back.
Her name is Star. I'll give
her. That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
were only friends. And I know it's hard to love just one person until the end. But I still believe all the things that you told me last night were true. Love was sent for you.
Complaining, but
I'm in the forum acting up, okay, as always. But my thing is, KL, why can't be addicted to one person? That's an addiction.
That's more along the mental side.
Well, actually, it depends on what you're... Are you really addicted? Is
okay.
that person...
am I? Ooh.
All right, let me ask you a question. If your boss was sitting in the next room, and he busted in the door and said, get up on the desk, you're giving this to me right now, and you know you could get fired, can he get it?
No, my boss can't get it. It's
no, not your boss. I ain't talking about... I'm talking about the one who...
Oh.
Now, if your boss could get it, you would have a sexual addiction. I'm not talking about your
Yo,
boss.
Yo, I'm going to give it to him.
Boss walk in and tell you...
I don't care.
Listen to me
now. I don't care. He got to get it.
Listen, if your boss walk in and the man that you really are addicted to says, you don't stop till we done, and your boss says, I'm going to fire you right now if you don't stop, if you're addicted, you'll keep going.
I'm
going to
get fired. I got to get fired.
Then you might be addicted.
Because I know what... I can't even go there. I'm going to be nice tonight. But anywho, I'm addicted. But... Point blank.
She's just going to leave it at that. She's addicted.
So you can call him Carlos Danger then.
No, I don't want to be Carlos. That's a boy's name. Call me Carla.
Carla Danger.
Or Carmela Danger, whatever. But don't call me Carlos.
There's a possibility of being addicted to a particular individual. And some people in the sex trade, especially pimps and other individuals that rely on bodies to supply what they do, many pimps will try to force an addiction onto some of the women that they deal with, either through drugs or through sex. Get them
right.
so tied into that the sex is should be with them that they actually form a sick type of bond where they can only feel comfortable when they're with a particular person. The mind is very... very fragile, and if someone sets out to abuse you and abuse the mind, there's so many things that can take on the form of an addiction because over time you actually start to believe in it. It's actually called the Stockholm Syndrome. And the Stockholm Syndrome is where the captors start to take on a like for the person that has held them captive. So mentally they actually start to embrace the individual who has actually kidnapped them to where they actually believe that that person is a part of their lives, where they actually cut off memories of the previous life that they have. So the mind is very fragile. If somebody abuses you enough, you will actually start to believe that it's perfectly normal what's going on.
Okay, can I say this?
Sure.
Now, I'm talking, the person that I'm speaking of, it's been almost 4+ years. My ex used to please me very good. Very good. Very, 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 very good. You know, I could get that anytime I wanted to. I mean, even today. But I don't want it. It's that one particular person.
Gotcha.
Because I know what I'm getting. But I felt like that about that ex, too, you know, at one time. But now that ex, it's just like, if I did go there, I would puke, honestly. You know.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know if mine is the sexual addiction or just a mental thing, but I know whatever.
So, like I said, we can shape. Addictions come in many forms. The brain starts to feel a need for it, addictions can happen. Like, I'll give you an example. There's people who will tell you that they're addicted to marijuana. Well,
right.
There are no addictive principles in marijuana. But you got people tell you that they cannot stop smoking it, have to smoke it, feel better when they smoke it. Now, unlike caffeine is an addicting chemical. It actually can cause addiction. Too much caffeine can actually cause you to become addicted to where you feel.
That's true.
Because caffeine can actually cause the body to react like cocaine. But in marijuana, it is the THC, TCH or THC actually that gets you high, but there's nothing else that causes you to be addicted. But there are folks that will swear to you, that will tell you no matter what you say that they are addicted to it, and that is the mental addiction that comes from a person wanting something so badly that their body actually starts to change.
Withdrawal. Now, I will agree with you as far as about the drugs, KL. You know, like I tell anybody, I'm never ashamed of what I've done in my life because I was there as far as drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it didn't take me there. I just stopped. But as far as this sexual thing, I mean, honestly, I can go without until I see this man because that's who I want. You know, and it could be my mind playing tricks on me. But I know that's what I want because I know what I'm going to get. You know? So.
That's why I said, again, it's a matter of how we shape it in the way that we think.
Mm-hmm.
Person is different. Look up the clinical definition of addiction. It actually gets to the point of where the body can't act in its normal state. Now, here's the thing that you can really see. Now, you might just really enjoy being with that person. That's why your selective choice is like, why get it from anybody else if I can only get it from that person? It is when you start to neglect daily routines because of the addiction. Meaning that you start to show up outside his job. You're in the train station. You refuse just to live life until you get it. So you got to understand that you got to look at what you've seen in drug addicts and then take out the drugs and institute sex in it. When you start to get to that point, that's when you've gotten to a point where the addiction has. And I worked at a motel from 1988 to early 1992. And one of the things that I've seen working late at night was you start to see the same folks coming with the same folks, but then you start to see certain people come with various different people. And you start to want to prostitute or whatever. And you start to see this up front. You see that some people just can't get away from the sexual aspect of things in their lives. Now, one of the things that crack created in the late 80s was that you started to have women and men who needed to be able to make money to supply their drug habits.
True that.
So had sexual addictions who might have never acted on it because they couldn't afford a $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 prostitute. Now I could get the chick across the street to do the same thing the prostitute was going to do, but for $10. So all of a sudden, opened up the door to folks to further or to even explore certain sexual things, which then created more sexual addiction.
Okay.
That's why I know a lot of folks did not and do not fill out surveys when it comes to sexual situations. They really do not want people to know anything about their sexual past.
So you saying that mine could just be a mental thing?
Yeah, he just put it on you, boo.
Hey, I ain't mad at him because I must have put it on him, too, because he wanted to.
That's what I was going to tip about earlier, that, you know, that's just good old-fashioned. That's what that is. That's just you looking at her and you punch him in the face. Why you so good?
Yeah. See, KL, see, I won't act like this until I come on your show.
So we get to see the other side.
I'm addicted on y'all's show, okay? How about that?
Hey, not a problem.
I got an addiction to y'all's show.
And we're going to be your pushers. So, Curtis Mayfield, I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I'm your sister in the alley. I'm your pusher. I'm about to go out and get a pick right now. Drive it right outside. Be gone.
But you know, I gotta tell you guys, you always make me laugh, make me smile, and I like that. I honestly do because sometimes I can be down, and when I listen to your topics, it's like, wow, did they really go there? You know?
Yes.
We try to, listen, if we're going
to
be on the air for 2 hours,
we try to keep it real.
We want to talk about things that's affecting people right now. One of the biggest things, we did radio before, and this is not our first rodeo. This is actually the third time that this is my third show and Tiff's second. And so when we was on the air in the past, the one thing that I was always going to do when I was on the air was have fun but be informative. I listen to talk radio on the regular. I don't watch as much television as a lot of other folks. So I listen to a lot of talk radio. You can listen to somebody for 2 hours and have gotten nothing. And you can't do that. If you're going to be on the air, you have to understand the power that being on the air is. I don't care if we have – our logic was if one person tunes in – we're going to go hard for the one person. That's it. Makes no difference.
Right.
This is what we do. And so Tiff and I, on a regular, That's how we do it. And we try to come up with subjects that are interesting, but we also come up with subjects where a person can sit at home and go, wow, I know somebody, or that's me. Now, whether they want to ask themselves, that's their business. They don't want to tell on themselves. We ain't asking nobody to come out and share that if they don't choose to. But one of the things that we do is we use ourselves first. We will use our own experiences. And this is why Tiff will always do a little background information.
Right.
Talk about. So it's not just me talking about what I've gone through. She talking about what she's going through.
True that.
Is somebody snoring? Hold on. Is somebody snoring on my show here?
Somebody sleeping?
When?
I just thought I heard somebody snoring. There's somebody mic on. It needs to be turned off.
Somebody. I'll sleep during
our show.
Well,
I would hope not. I hope they not sleep.
I don't know. Somebody better get muted there. I'm going to have to rub somebody off.
Yo, KL, are you looking at the forum? Look at the forum.
Hold on.
Are they getting breakfast?
No, they going in on me.
Oh,
my goodness.
I mean, what am I looking at here? Oh. The TV addicted. Yeah, that's true.
They say, T, you are addicted on every show except Sundays, LOL.
Because
I do. I have to admit that I do act up on the shows, but that's me. You know, and if I didn't be me, you guys wouldn't love me because I'm going to act a clown wherever I go. But on Sundays, I'm going to hold it down. I got to be positive. You know, I'm a big baby on Sundays.
Ain't nothing wrong. Listen, what I meant.
And on Fridays, you're right. On Fridays, I really show out. What?
When I met, she was crying after she heard a poem, so I can't lie. I was like, wow. She's like, find that type of love. I was like, oh, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I write poetry.
And I love you guys. I mean, honestly, I enjoy myself, especially on Fridays. Oh, my God. And like I told him, I'm happy that I don't even drink no more. Because when I was drinking, woo.
Oh, Lord.
I was a showcase and a half on Friday.
A showcase and a half?
I was a showcase and a half. You might as well have put me on the whole show because I was going to act up. I mean, I still have my fun, but I have my days that I go in on people.
Wow.
And I love it.
While you got everybody listening, why don't you tell them where they can find you? So if they want to
okay. Hear, well, you know what? I can tell you where you can find everybody, honestly.
All right. Run it down to them.
But on Wednesdays, as Angie said earlier, which is the Diva Squad from 7 to 9 on Wednesday, immediately following, you got Fallout Comedy from 9 to 10 with Chicky Chick. Thursdays, Reality and Relationship, where we are now, from 8 to 10 with KL and Tiffany. Friday, Love and Entertainment, 6 to 9, our very own CEO, Rich Money. On Sunday, Spiritual Sunday, 7 to 9, with Lavina Polite and Minister Weathersby. Immediately following that, you got Crossroad Temple with Faith Walker. And then on Monday, we have a new show that is UAR. And we have different hosts. And last week I was hosting, and hopefully this week I'll be hosting as well. And then on Tuesday, you got GPS Sports, 8 to 10 with the mayor. So we have a show every day of the week. We have different varieties of hosts, different varieties of shows, period. You will enjoy whatever. We don't have a show on Saturday. We will not have a show on Saturday, from what I hear from the CEO. But you can always tune in to GQ Palace Radio.
Gotcha. See, there it is, guys. So you have no excuses to not find some type of show that you like. Tune in and check them out. So let's go. Out on Saturday night, that means you're home the other night. Stop fronting. Your paper ain't that long. Listen to one of the shows and support, if not listen to all of them. Become an addict like T and just listen to all the shows. Don't even sleep. Let's be on. Well, darling, it is the end of the half an hour. So, again, tell them where they can find you before we go to break. Tell them where they can find you, T, before we go to break.
Wednesdays from 7 to 9, Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, myself, Rachel, and Angie.
There you
go. We're there, grown and sexy topics, the best slow jams, old and new. We doing it. So make sure you tune in, 646-238-38. Press 7-1.
All right, guys, that is T, one of the standing, she has a long standing open. She can come on anytime. One of our favorites. We're going to take a break. We're going to take a two-song break. When we come back, we have Sha on the line, and we're going to hear, we're going to hear what's going on there. So we'll be back in two songs. This is Carlos Danger, and that was Carla Danger. Just left. We'll be back in two songs. See you then.
to me. My pieces in my pieces, fam. Legacy, remember me. A crystal of my senator. A brown with a frown. I'm a pro speaking now. Making words compound. Sound my words, man.
What? We were publishing a word.
Everybody else, listen to Carlos Danger will come and steal their food.
Yeah.
will work. Aww. That will work. Yes. Over the appetizer, Carlos Danger and Star. We'll definitely accept that.
Yay.
Bye. Congratulations officially on the air. I didn't say congratulations to y'all yet on the air.
Oh, thank you.
To the baby danger.
Thank you. Baby Danger will be here in March. That's right.
Yay. I'm so happy for you guys. I'm going to tear up. Okay.
thank you. And we're moving back to Brooklyn, yes. We're moving back to Brooklyn.
You move back to Brooklyn?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Well, I'm not even going to say we're on the air, so I'm going to hit y'all in
the air. No,
because we'll have people at our house.
Yes, and they'll have the people on the side of Carlos Danger.
I want some of that cooking, so I want to come over.
I'm trying to tell you, and we will be cooking because we'll be too broke to go out and eat out. So.
I'm coming over.
Not a problem. So what's your thoughts on tonight's topic?
It's so funny. Every time you have a topic, it's like the day of I have a conversation that's like pertaining to that. I was having a conversation today with somebody, and I was like, you know, I was trying to understand why certain people have kind of like open relationships, because we're all human. We're all going to be attracted to somebody one way or another, whether we're married or not. Your body don't stop being attracted to someone. It's just a matter of, can you control your sexual appetite? So I think that... Yeah, I think that some people can, and if you cannot, I would rather you be open and honest with me that you cannot control your sexual appetite, and let me have the choice in deciding, okay, should I have an open relationship with you, or should I move on? So that's my whole thing on, you know, people having sexual addictions, because I, like you said, the whole abuse thing earlier, I kind of can agree with that. I didn't know in depth how you said it, but... I agree with that, and I guess it's something that you have to put under control, but some people just cannot. It's like drugs and anything else.
And you know, it's funny that you said that, because that's one thing Kale and I had a discussion about as far as relationships in general. You have people that, regardless of what you want, they want to be in relationships with multiple people, whether it's a sexual addiction, whether it's they're not ready to settle down, whatever the circumstances are. And I always said to KL, anytime that I was in a dating and was in a relationship, I would tell guys, let me know what you want. Because if you want to be with multiple women, I don't want to be a part of that.
See, so that's why you don't tell them.
Find somebody, because you know what?
There are enough
women out there that don't mind you being with multiple women.
That's why you don't tell them, and find women that like to be with multiple women.
Don't be with a woman that does not want to be in that type of relationship.
Yes, just
find
don't tell
a woman
them.
That wants to.
Don't tell her.
I heard and I read before that Monique said something about, like, not that she's given permission for her husband to do it, but if he does, she understands it, because there's other people in the world he might be attracted to, as long as he don't bring nothing home and don't really disrespect their marital thing. He's basically allowed, if he sees someone attractive, he's basically allowed to see somebody else.
Monique done lost her plum cuckoo mind along with all that weight she lost. She, you know what?
She's
insecure chicks. A lot of insecure chicks, they so desperate to have somebody in their life, and they think she done been beat around so much with men dogging her out. She's like, you know, I might as well let him cheat. He gonna cheat anyway. She is a fool.
I mean, I do feel like, though, like, I have a couple of cousins that are very overbearing, where they don't let their husbands do anything, not go out with the guys or nothing. I'm like, well, don't do that, because if he's going to cheat, he's going to cheat regardless of whether you don't let him go out, because you're not with him 24/7. He's gonna be alone some part of the day. So the leashing is a little bit sticky,
Let the cheater take this. Let the professional cheater tell you what's going on here. All right. First of all, often when women or males say, I don't have a problem with my significant other bedding down somebody else, there's a couple of things that I hear when I hear that. One, either they have aspirations of bedding somebody down, but they still want much of what that person brings to the table, but they want to keep their own option open. True, it's what Tiff said, self-esteem can be in the tank, so I will let him do it so I ain't got to go through the hurt of being cheated on, because at least I'm still getting him, and he's going to come home. And every chick and every male says, don't bring me something. Like a person actually goes out and goes, ooh, let me get this AIDS, and bring it home to my lady on purpose. No.
Yeah.
You don't know what someone else is out there getting, because if they're getting it on with you, they could be getting it on with somebody else. It's the idea that folks are going to take whatever chances work for them. And third, it's often confused on what the relationship is to begin with. See, if you have an open relationship, well, then the argument always is, then what's the point? Really just good friends who are having sex. Because if I can have sex with whoever I want, what is the relationship? Because any connection that you have to somebody is a relationship. But if you are now having a physical relationship with somebody, but you say I can have a physical relationship with whoever I want, y'all just have an extended friendship. Now, if you have a spiritual connection with somebody, but you're allowing the physical aspect to go along, that's fraudulent to me also, because now you're saying I can't control it, so I'm going to let you do it. Well, you're not letting me do anything that you don't have control over that anyway. So, again, it's fraudulent to me. I say, be brave enough to say, this is what I want. If you can't rock with it, leave me alone. And then if you catch me cheating, or if I catch you cheating, that's it. See, the cheater is going to cheat if they choose to, because the cheating has nothing to do with the person they are cheating on in most cases. The cheater wants what they want. Many a cheater has a great woman at home. They're not cheating because they're unhappy at home. They're cheating because they have access to things out where they are, and the issue is with the cheater.
Absolutely.
Too often the cheater will turn to the person they have cheated on and say, it is your cooking, it is your lovemaking, it is the way you snore, it is the way you keep your hair. False. Because if that was the case, they would have left you.
And then the person that they're cheating with takes on that role also. Oh, they're with me because. No, it's not about you.
Or they cheated on me because. No, they cheated because they didn't have the self-control that it was required to be in a monogamous relationship. Now, there's no way you're going to be able to see that at the beginning, so the only thing that you can do is ride it out. But when you start to see signs, start to check on those signs, because you shouldn't see signs when a person is doing what they're supposed to. And don't have a problem with asking why something doesn't seem correct. Now, I'm telling you as a professional cheater, one way to catch a cheater, spend time with him. Yes, make his hobbies or her hobbies your hobbies. Come on, let's do it together. Now, if he starts to bug out about why you up under them all the time, yes, give them or him or her that space. Go do you. But if they go missing, off the range, off the reservation for too long, why is that necessary? If they're digging you, they should want you to know where they are. Second, if their sexual performance changes at different times, he's knocking you down something awful at the beginning of the month, and now he can't pick up a pencil at the end of the month. What changed? You ain't working out. You ain't going to the gym. Your gym clothes is here. What you doing? Pay attention to these things.
I have a really quick question. I know about to be up the air. This is a really important question I asked someone today. If you in love with your significant other, right? Say you went to a party and I know y'all don't drink like that. I'm just saying. You got drunk, right? Is that, I want to say okay if you accidentally do something because you were under the influence.
You know such thing as accidentally, what, a penis accidentally fell up in somebody?
No,
accidentally
fell
up in somebody? Say something.
Because you were drinking.
Drunk is a release of what you had in your subconscious that was at bay. The reason why you don't get drunk is the person that you really are and the thing that you actually keep locked up finds its way to the forefront. When they say that alcohol makes a person tell the truth, we all have certain parts of our lives that we keep locked together, hold together. Alcohol releases. That's why you see sometimes a whole different person when they are drinking. If you accidentally, there's no such thing as accidental sex. That's
and you're
rape.
Drinking. You could kiss or cheat or something if you drink.
You're drinking and have no control of yourself.
So
that
you
means you have issues with you. That means inside you really want to be out of control. You actually are resisting that person that you really are. Ain't no accidental sex. Ain't no, oh, I got drunk here and my legs is wide open. Come on.
Levina wrote on the page, a drunk person speaks a sober mind.
Thank you. Thank you. You're acting on what you really want.
You're using that as excuse.
There's no such thing as accidental sex. The Lord knows I done had a lot of accidental sex. So it's all right. When you get drunk, there's a part of you that knows exactly what you are doing. Now, the problem is the part of you that would normally keep you at bay, the part that keeps you from cursing, yelling, and screaming in a crowded restaurant, that person is laid out. So So now the mic is wide open. So you grab the mic and go, you right there with the breasts. Let's go. Do that.
Exactly.
You right there with the balls in your pants. I don't even know what that is, but I want to check it out. See, that person normally wouldn't get the mic. So you might think it, but you don't act it out. Alcohol lowers your inhibition. So you go, whatever. I'm going to jump off this bridge because I can do whatever. So now we're in bed. And now when the alcohol starts to wear up, what was I thinking? You were thinking that the person that you normally keep at bay got loose. So you need to check you. There is no such thing as accidental sex, because either you were just having random sex, which is nasty, or you had feelings for the person and the alcohol just allowed you to act on what you were already thinking. So either way, it was there. You just nasty to begin with, and the alcohol revealed that. Or you really wanted to get nasty with them, and the alcohol revealed it. Either way,
well,
it's you.
You was nasty to begin with, though. I mean, that's a hard thing.
You was nasty to begin with, so the alcohol had nothing to do with it. The alcohol just let the door fly open. He was like, "Word, he naked? I'm out."
Really? I'm naked? I'm out? Move to the bed.
Yes, that's what it is. So the idea is you have to understand is that. And some folks will hide behind that and say they have a sexual addiction. It's funny how your addiction only shows up when you're drinking and then your clothes are off. I know people that the minute they get drinking, they go, oh, I get freaky, I get horny. No, you're just nasty. And the alcohol allows you to act on that because you don't have no shame. Shame goes out the window when drinking.
When I was dancing in the club back in my day and I would drink, I was the best dancer on the dance floor.
Everybody does that. And so they show you the video, and you're like a color bear swinging back and forth on your. Everybody, just like the shower. The person in the shower think they Luther Vandross until somebody recorded. Like somebody strangling you.
I was turning into like a stripper dancer. That was half the problem.
But you know why? And the dude that was dancing with you goes, she's so drunk, she don't even realize she can't dance. But I think I can get some. So go ahead, girl. You working that pole.
Nah, I ain't going to the club. Nah, I ain't go home with nobody in the club. I wish I could say that. And on that note.
Well, darling. As we get ready to bring this to a close, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, make sure you tell your friends and loved ones to tune in and check us out, because we always try to come up with a subject that is going to touch home and touch base. You know you always have a place here with us, darling.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much again for letting me call in.
That's it. Thank you so much. That is Charlotte McKenzie, y'all. Outstanding actress. Look for her. She'll be in something somewhere. Well, another show in the books.
Yes, love.
But I'm going to tell you something. Real talk, and I know I joke and laugh about a lot of things, but I try to bring as much as I can to the table. The subjects that we talk about are real subjects. They have real solutions, and we can't solve all the problems in 2 hours. What we do is attempt to give you a look at some of the problems. But I would say to anyone that is listening to tonight's show, if you believe that someone in your household, in your life, or someone that you know is suffering from a sexual addiction, get them professional help, professional spiritual help, professional mental help, whatever it's going to take to bring that problem to the forefront, to allow professional to deal with it. I know some people have stigmas about therapy. It works. I know people don't like to sit down across from a spiritual advisor and give them information. It works. But first, you have to admit that you have a problem. First, you have to admit that there's something wrong and that you have continued to get yourself in trouble and it is connected to sex. And if you have saw yourself lose a tremendous amount of friends, money, or anything else, opportunities or whatever because of sexual decisions, it might be time to sit down with a professional and get some help before you do irreparable damage to yourself and a doctor tells you that you have HIV and AIDS, because a sexual addict will take chances that a regular person will not. And when you take chances in today's society, you are risking your life as well as the life of every individual that you have sex with. This has been Reality in Relationships. I am your host, or was your host, Carlos Danger, the photo bandit, and my lovely wife, Tiffany Braxton Belvin. And we thank you for tuning in every Thursday from 8 to 10. What you going to tell them, honey?
You have said it all, so I'm going to say God bless and good night.
That's what I'm talking about, star. We out.
around the world. I want to talk about the one I love. I know a lot of times we forget how they take good care of you.